We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're back, we're dads on the air.
Welcome back to Dads on the Air, this 16th day of November 2010. And as we've been saying the last few weeks, we're coming up to International Men's Day on the 19th of November. That's this Friday. So we've mentioned in a number of shows already. Today is our IMD, International Men's Day special, and we'll be going to various places around the world. We're putting international into International Men's Day. So we'll be crossing to Trinidad and Tobago. We'll be going to the States. We'll be speaking to the representative from Ghana. And that's just for today. I might just mention in coming weeks, on the 30th of November, we'll be speaking to Diane Sears, who's the USA coordinator for International Men's Day. And she'll be giving us a wrap-up of International Men's Day in the States and some of the other work she's doing. So we're looking forward to that. Next week, we'll be speaking to Steve Bidoff, the author of The New Manhood. And he's been on the show before. He's one of the most entertaining speakers on the circuit, so very much looking forward to speaking to Steve. And we'll also be following up with David Hatfield, who is the coordinator of IMD in Canada. So we've certainly got a busy time coming up in the next few weeks. So, for today, we might, before we get on to our first guest, who is Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh. Dr. Jerome was the founder of International Men's Day, and he's in Trinidad and Tobago. Before we get on to our first guest, we might just have a couple of news items. It's been a very big week for news. Ian's joined us again after his travels around Asia. Ian, you've got something for us.
Yes, I do. I've got a couple of things, actually. In last week's Telegraph, the headline, Sydney sinking into sin, on the front page, Sydney has become the new Amsterdam. A confidential New South Wales government document reveals Sydney alone has more than double the number of legal brothels in the whole of Victoria and Queensland combined. So it appears that Sydney men are finding sexual solace by going to prostitutes. That I think this is a symptom of the crisis between the sexes, the fact that men are now finding it more convenient and easy to go to a brothel and pay for sex. Not a position that I agree with or that I think is healthy. It's not healthy for the men. It's certainly not healthy for the young women involved in the profession of prostitution, selling their bodies to strangers for money. This does not, you know, do our young women any good at all. And I think it's just a symptom of the crisis of the relations between the sexes that it's come to this, that we now have record numbers of brothels. And that people are obviously taking advantage of the fact that there are brothels everywhere and using them and spending their hard-earned money on going and having sex with strangers. I think it's a tragic situation.
Okay.
So there you go.
So that's the first item you wanted to mention, and I think you've got another one there.
Oh, look, I've got another one as well here. Now, this is very controversial, and I know that you disagree with me on this. This is an article appeared on October 27th in The Australian, written by Natasha Beater. The headline is, Cause of Vaccine Convulsions Remains a Mystery. The article states, the health department has exposed manufacturing inconsistencies at the nation's biggest drug company, but ruled them out as the cause of fits in 100 young children injected with CSL's seasonal flu vaccine. CSL's world first combination of seasonal and swine flu strains was suspended for the under fives in April after it triggered febrile convulsions in young children at 9 times the usual rate. Now, I don't agree with vaccination. I know I'm out on a limb here. A lot of people think that it's saved the world, a lot of death and doom. And as far as I'm concerned, it appears to me to be a straightforward case of drug pushing. They get into children before they can consent. my son is not vaccinated, and a lot of people think that that's disgraceful and I'm a bad parent, and I take that on the chin. I did not take the decision not to have my son vaccinated lightly. I did a lot of research. I read several books on the subject. I discussed it with a number of health professionals, and I came to the conclusion that the risk of autism, that the risk of convulsions just simply was not worth it, that the fact that we don't have diseases like typhoid, like the plague, etc., are due to improvements in hygiene, proper sewage systems, improvements in diet, and I believe that a lot of the diseases were wiped out basically through improved conditions, and that vaccination, if it played any part at all, it played a very small part. I would also point to vaccination as a cause of, or a partial cause of the AIDS epidemic that has taken place in Africa and third world countries, which were flooded with vaccines by the World Health Organization with the best of intentions. But in my opinion, this is vaccination, putting a needle into a newborn child is a shocking crime, in my opinion. So there.
So we hasten to add, those are the views of Ian Purdy.
That's right.
These are not the views of Dads on the Air. And also,
they're not your views either, are they, Bill? No, I know that. I mean, you could, if you want to rebut my position, please go ahead. This is a great forum for it, because I think there's a lot of parents out there who would be confused, and it is a huge decision at the birth of a child whether to allow a doctor to stick a needle into them and vaccinate them, or whether you're going to refuse that. They do try to tell you that if you don't have your child vaccinated, that they won't be able to attend a school, but that turns out to be a load of hogwash. My son's enrolled at Waverley College, and there's no problem with the fact that he's not vaccinated. They don't even mention it. So it's just a big scare campaign, in my opinion.
So we've got so much on today, we haven't even done the introductions. That, of course, was the inimitable Ian Purdy. Also in the studio with us today, we have Phil York from Dads in Distress.
G'day, Bill. G'day, Ian. Hi, everyone.
Morning, Phil.
Now, Phil, you've got something for us.
And you are Bill Cable.
And I
don't forget
Cable
yourself,
from,
Bill.
Yes, from
Mediate. Mediate Now.
From Mediate Now.
Yes, Bill. Well, we've all been waiting for it. We knew it was on the horizon in The Australian on Remembrance Day. The headline reads, Safety First in Family Law Changes, by Chris Merritt and Patricia Carvelis. The Gillard government has unveiled radical changes to family law. The changes would redefine domestic violence, place greater weight on child safety, and could weaken the Howard government's shared parenting laws. The changes, which are directed at cases involving abusive parents, elevate the safety of children to the top priority in custody disputes, which I'll say yes, I agree with. Whenever a court considers that this goal is in conflict, the court will put the safety of the children at top priority rather than the shared parenting proposition. The changes is contained in a draft legislation released for discussion yesterday by Attorney General Robert McClelland. The proposed changes to the Family Law Act come after Labor MPs, particularly women, raised concerns that the Howard government laws had gone too far and were hurting vulnerable children. The new definition includes a long list of matters, including behaviour that torments, intimidates or harasses a family member. That effect could be caused by repeated derogatory taunts or racial taunts, or intentionally causing death or injury to an animal, or damaging property. Family violence will also include unreasonably controlling, dominating or deceiving a family member. This could be brought about by denying a family member financial autonomy, or preventing a family member from making or keeping connections with family, friends or culture. Family violence would also include threatening to commit suicide with the intention of tormenting or intimidating a family member. So that's where it's at. There is draft legislation. It's on the Attorney General's website, and basically we as a society have until, I think it's halfway through January, to put our comments forth with regard to the proposed changes.
I think we're all united here at Dads on the Air in saying that any rollback of the Howard laws of shared parental responsibility, tending towards shared parental time
yep.
Was a good thing. I mean, any rollback is a terrible thing. We are opposed to it completely and utterly. It's a retrograde step. It's going to take us back into the dark ages, where basically the mothers get everything, they get all the power, they get the children, and as we've seen through numerous cases, lots of women abuse this position. They don't put the children first, and the fathers are excluded from the lives of their children, which numerous studies have proven beyond doubt is a terrible tragedy for the children involved.
Well, that's right, mate. You know, and this is all about the children, as they say, and it's about looking after their safety. But not only should it be in the short term, it should be in the long term. And as you said, you know, fatherless families, the children in those families are more likely to do poorly, including drug addiction, prison, homelessness, amongst others.
Everything, yeah. All social indicators show that children who don't have a father present in the home or don't have meaningful contact with their father are seriously disadvantaged.
So if the government's going to go ahead with this, they better be ready to build more prisons, more drug rehab centres and shelters for the homeless, mate, because, you know, this is what they're bringing forth. Yeah.
Well, the redefinition of all those various things is not in itself a bad thing if it goes both ways. If men can also have access to legal remedies for all of these new acts of violence and various other unsavoury aspects.
Absolutely, mate.
In the application, I mean, if men can get, but if it's only for women, if it's just more ways of women to gang up on men, more ways of disempowering fathers, then it's a shocking travesty.
It is, mate.
So,
you know,
a lot of that will be in the application of it, whether the courts are prepared
take that
to
holistic
take,
approach
and take a man's see a man's side. And yeah. If men can use these laws to enforce their rights as fathers and husbands, you know, then possibly it's not such a bad thing. But if it's only, you know, if it's going to be a one-way situation, if it's going to just empower more feminists, I mean, it's a disaster.
It is, mate. And if it's going to be a one-way thing, you know, I guess dads in distress support services will be around for a much longer time. And, you know, it was our hope to actually close our doors. You know?
Yeah. No, this is definitely, it sounds to me like a serious step backwards.
Yes, now these changes were unveiled on the 11th of November, and Sue Price, who was a guest on the program 2 weeks ago and a frequent guest on the program, went to a meeting on the 10th of November with Tony Abbott and Senator George Brandis, and Sue's reported back that she made the point to Mr. Abbott that instead of time with both parents being considered of primary importance, often called one of the twin pillars of these family decisions, safety of children, and most likely women, though that's not admitted, will be the primary consideration for the courts before forming any views or addressing applications for shared or other time with children. Sue predicts that false allegations will flourish, and she would also suspect that the false allegation penalties will be removed. Well, she was absolutely right there, because in the discussion paper that's been released, parents would no longer have cost orders made against them for making false allegations or statements.
Well, where's the justice in that? Where's the sense in that? That's not even sensible. I mean, common sense would tell you that that's just ridiculous.
Well, the argument is that the provision deterred parents from raising truthful claims in case the court did not believe them, but that is showing no faith in the court that they can't determine when an allegation is either truthful or untruthful. So that's an extraordinary development, that there'll be no penalty for making the most outlandish allegations about the fathers, and subjecting these allegations are made by mothers, and particularly what concerns me, the sexual allegations, which have no basis to them, and leave the father in a quagmire for 7-8 years of trying to clear his name when there was never any basis to the allegation whatsoever. So I should mention also, on the same day, on the 11th of November, a report, the official report, Family Violence and National Legal Response, was issued by the Attorney General and the New South Wales Attorney General. That's Robert McClellan federally, John Hatzigiris in New South Wales. And if people want to see that report, go to the ALRC website and you'll get the final report and a report summary, and you are also invited to make to provide any feedback. You can go to feedback@alrc.gov.au, feedback@alrc.gov.au, and you can provide some feedback on the family violence report And in that regard, I'd refer you all to the site we often refer to, which is the 1 in 3 website. That's either words or figures. And there you'll get some actual figures, some real figures, which might assist you in making a submission to the Family Violence Inquiry. So there's been a lot happening, and we've got such an international packed program today, we might have to return to some of these topics in future weeks. But for the moment, we might go to a break, and we'll be back in a moment with Dr. Jerome Tilak-Singh.
Why does my heart feel so bad? Why does my soul feel so bad? Why does my heart my soul feels so bad? Why does my heart feel so bad? Why does my soul?
so fast. You have to cherish every moment.
Please, Daddy.
You have a right to be involved in the life of your child. Dad's in Distress, 1300 853 437.
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
Welcome back to Dad's on the Air. And our next guest is Dr. Jerome Tilak-Singh, a history lecturer from the University of West Indies, and the coordinator and the founder of International Men's Day. Dr. Jerome, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome back to the show. I think we spoke to you about this time last year on about International Men's Day. And
Yes, that's correct.
I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the about the program for this year.
Right. Firstly, let me say hello to your listeners in Australia and around the world. And it's an honor for me to be on your program.
Thank you.
The program this year, from a global perspective, is very interesting in that we have countries such as China being involved. We have new areas like Canada, which will be celebrating International Men's Day for the first time. And we also have a few Caribbean countries like Antigua and Barbuda and also St. Vincent that will be observing Men's Day. And what is happening is that there is a theme, our children, our future, but the various observances will also be focusing on other important issues such as men and health, about positive role models. So there's no really fixed agenda or theme, right? But it is really amazing. And I have to give credit to the coordinators. I also have to give credit to the media, such as this radio program, Dads on the Air, which helped educate and inform many of the citizens around the world.
Yes, look, it's really taking off like wildfire. And it's just coincidence, but this year, the next day is International Children's Day, I believe. So it's really a 48-hour event in some ways, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I believe that the theme is very appropriate. And I am very thrilled to know that it's not just fathers involved, but also teenagers, children, women, and many groups that, such as orphanages and other groups that take care of abused and mentally and physically challenged children, are very eager to participate in Men's Day this year because of the theme, and it worked out very, very nice.
Yes, I wonder if you could tell us about the support you've received from the United Nations.
Right. That is a very a tricky subject in that I have written the United Nations on a few occasions and I haven't heard from them. However, in 1999, I wrote to UNESCO, which is based in Paris in France, and I received a fax saying they found it was an excellent idea. It will give a balance to gender relations. But unfortunately, it has only been verbal support. I haven't been able to get United Nations to put it on their official calendar. I am not sure what is the reason. I'm not sure if they are discussing it, but many people are disappointed that this day, which has captured the minds and hearts of so many people, is not officially recognized.
Yes, well, if it keeps snowballing the way it has in the last few years, you have to think they'll have to get to the stage where they recognize it. And Dr. Jerome, I noticed the objectives this year are somewhat different from the original objectives of the movement, the International Men's Day. Are you able to just tell us what the context of the current objectives?
Right. These objectives were officially ratified by coordinators, two from Australia, one from India, one from the United States, and myself, about a year ago. And what these objectives dealing with emotional health, positive role models, and developing wholesome individuals, It was really to provide a clear perspective, and it was also to ensure that we included everyone. We didn't want to be promoting International Men's Day, and some groups feel marginalized, alienated, and excluded. So we took some time, and brainstorming, you might want to say, and we came up with these six objectives that would be all-inclusive, and also provide a clear agenda for people who want to observe this day.
Yes, I think you refer to them as the six pillars of International Men's Day. And
correct.
So, I mean, one of these, yes, to focus on men's health and well-being, we're certainly focusing on that in Australia. I like to celebrate men's positive contributions to society, community, family, marriage, childcare and the environment, and to highlight discrimination against men. We spoke to the Indian representative last week, Uma Chawla, and it was very interesting to hear her, or the week before last it was, but very interesting to hear her discussion about the discrimination against men in India, which is not not something you'd expect, but it seems to be a worldwide problem, isn't it?
Yes, and what is very unfortunate is that a lot of the government agencies around the world, they don't disburse funding equally. I don't like to say, but sometimes there is disproportionate representation. And I feel that we need more equity and more equality when we are looking at issues and when we are given funding and support. Many men's organizations have been informing me that it is difficult to get money to have a men's day observance because the government agencies are giving money to the women group. So we need to try to get to the problem. I know India is a complex society like many multicultural societies with the caste system and religion and things. So I understand what they're going through, but we really need some equality out there.
Yes, and do you encounter these same problems in Trinidad and Tobago?
Yes, not just Trinidad and Tobago, but the entire Caribbean, there is a very skewed perspective on men. Men in the Caribbean tend to be seen as perpetrators of violence. Men are seen as being abusers of women and children. And we need, in the Caribbean particularly, to reverse that image. We need to try to promote men in positive roles. We need to try to show men as being important to the family, one of the pillars in the family. And we need to let society understand that men also have emotional and psychological problems. And this is where government agencies need to give equal funding. You see, in that objective where I mentioned health doesn't mean physical health, but it means emotional health as well.
Yes. And we're speaking with Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh, the founder of International Men's Day. Dr. Jerome, it's great that you've actually done something about it, having recognised all these problems. And I think one of your realisations was that Father's Day doesn't really go far enough as far as all the men in the community, all the males in the community.
Correct. Remember, there are a lot of single men who sometimes feel Father's Day is not for them. There are a lot of men without children who will be husbands but not fathers because they have no children, adopted or biological. So even teenage boys, young adults who are not yet fathers, they were feeling that Father's Day had not really reached out to them and appealed to them. So this was one of the reasons why I felt this was a good idea to bring forward this Men's Day too.
Yes, it's a much wider problem, and yes, you've just touched on some of the problems for adolescent boys. We'll be speaking later with Kathleen Williams in the New York about the problems in education for young boys, and the boys seem to be falling behind in their studies now. So there's certainly a number of there's certainly a lot of issues that can be addressed in International Men's Day. No shortage of issues.
Correct. And what has been happening in Trinidad and Tobago recently is that many of these teenage boys are being bullied at school, peer pressure. And this has affected their studies. Sometimes they have gang fights in our secondary schools. So it is a very critical age, and we hope to deal with some of these problems.
Yes. I mean, you have some very positive male role models in the area with your sports stars, but I think it's important to get the average male into the picture, isn't it?
Yes, that is very true, because as you would realize, in golf, we have Tiger Woods, who recently fell from grace. We have some basketball stars, and we even have some movie stars who sometimes their personal lives become fodder for this gossip publication. So often we tend to have the wrong role models, and when our young people and adults have wrong role models, we tend to have social problems in society.
Yes, and you know, it's to be the father in the family and accept all those responsibilities is not an easy thing to do, is it? It's something that have to be recognised. Dr. Jerome, look, we're unfortunately running out of time, but could I just once again thank you for all the work you've done for International Men's Day, and also thank you particularly for coming in our program today. And we look forward to the success of International Men's Day and to talking to you in the future.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much for interviewing other people connected to Men's Day from India and United States and other parts of the world.
Yes, we're looking forward. So once again, Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh, thank you very much for coming on the program, and we look forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks again.
Okay, Ted. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A single man with a ring around the block and a cigarette butt in my pew. And I haven't always been a lonely man, and I haven't always lived alone. And you know I haven't always drunk this much, but hey, before you cut me down, just start standing in my shoes, 'cause I don't have to hear one word out. I might care what you say, but every Saturday is Father's Day. And you might call it sad, you might call me mad, but I've got one who calls me dad.
We're back. Dad's on the air. Welcome back to Dad's on the Air on this forerunner to International Men's Day. And our next guest is Samuel Taki, who is the National Coordinator for International Men's Day for Ghana. Samuel, are you there?
I'm doing good, and you?
Very well, thank you. Now, Samuel, perhaps I should get your name right to start with. Is it Samuel Taki, or there's a Ni Teko, I think, in the middle?
Yeah, that's my middle name, Samuel Ni Teko Taki.
Okay, if I call you Samuel.
Right.
Now, Samuel, you're the president and founder of Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation and the national coordinator of International Men's Day in Ghana. I wonder if you could tell us how you became involved in International Men's Day.
Good. Last year, we celebrated International Men's Day on a low profile, but it was very, very great. Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation is established to promote and encourage committed, available, and responsible fatherhood in Ghana. It's a recognized, registered NGO. As such, we decided to celebrate International Men's Day because it has a lot to do with men, since we are also in fatherhood initiative programs.
Yes. So your focus is on father absenteeism in Ghanaese families. Is that correct?
You are right. You are right.
And what sort of a problem is it in Ghana?
You know what? In Ghana, what we, as Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation realizes, Ghanaian men and up-and-coming fathers need to be encouraged to be responsible. It will interest you to know that most of them are doing the best that they can due to the economy, as far as the economy is concerned. But we're doing great. The fathers are doing great as far as they are concerned. And those who are also not doing the best that they can as fathers, we think as an organization to encourage them to do the best that they can. And those who are not doing it at all, due to the fact that they don't know what they're supposed to do, we're trying to bring them together to let them know what they can do.
So do you think they see their roles as just being to provide financially rather than being the emotional support and being there for their families?
You know what? What I would like to tell you here is we don't have to say there's no if. Even if you don't have the financial means to help in bringing your child or taking care of your child, what we think is at least you can help your child in reading.
Yes.
You can visit your child's school. One way or the other, there are a lot of things that makes a father responsible. There are a lot of things that makes a father committed. There are a lot of things that makes a father being available. I would like to tell you here that there are fathers who are 100% present in the life of their children. But what is expected of them as fathers, they are not doing it. And we as Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation take this up to promote and encourage fathers to do what they can do best.
Yes, I mean, you don't get an instruction book when you become a father, do you? So, and it's not intuitive. So, any help that you can provide to show, you know, what is the best role for a father to take is going to be going to have some lasting benefits for the children.
Right. And as we all know, children whose fathers are always committed, available, and responsible, and who behave as real fathers, as responsible fathers, those children grew up to be responsible fathers too.
Yes. Now, you mentioned you encourage the fathers to read to their children. That's perhaps when they're going to bed. And what other practical steps do you advise the fathers?
Okay. And we, as I'm speaking to you now, we're trying to how fathers to read, as you said, to read to their kids. Last year, we gave out books, and these books, under the theme, we had it, Men, Let Us Be Instruments of Positive Influence. And during the keynote address, the chairman for the function, Mr. Maxwell Marco Clu, encouraged fathers to read to their kids during bedtime. And as our local theme for this year's International Men's Day, which we're going to celebrate on the 19th at the Martyrs of Uganda Catholic Church, our local theme is Men, We Can Do Better.
Yes.
I was just saying to a radio station which interviewed me in Ghana yesterday that there are, when they say men, they need men to do all things, like demonstrate, do things that need the masculine support of men. You see them coming out in numbers. But if you need them for good things, other things that will promote the welfare of the nation, we see a lot of women coming out. So that's why we took the theme that men, we can do better.
Yes, that's the theme you're promoting, Men, We Can Do Better, and I know that it's International Children's Day, the day after International Men's Day. Are you getting support from the women in Ghana in your initiatives?
Oh, yes, we have, as I'm speaking to you now, we have two active women who are helping us a lot in all areas. We have Emilia Nunu, who is the executive assistant secretary, and we have Rita Osea Sibe, who is the event planner, event officer for Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation. And with these two women in our midst, they're trying to encourage other women to get involved. we intentionally involved these two women who are helping us a lot so that people will know and to understand that Fatherhood Initiative program is not just for men, but women too are involved.
Yes, well, look, I think that's going to be vital to get that wide support. And I believe, in connection with the reading, you have a book donation scheme available in Ghana?
We have books on parenting. Is that the question you're asking?
Yes, right? I wonder if you could talk about that.
Yeah, we have a lot of books on parenting. We have a lot of books on guidance and counseling when it comes to fatherhood issues. And in future, Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation is trying to come out with at least a month magazine that will include issues on International Men's Day and issues on children and issues on fathers and dads.
Yes, because I think it's on your website. You have resources, you have books, you have videos available. So there are a number of things that men in Ghana can do, and I guess people are interested internationally in what's happening in Ghana. Have you got a website that you could refer us to that people would go to?
Yeah, we have a website, and as I said earlier, we have other books that people wrote concerning fatherhood issues. But I am not saying people were not talking about fatherhood issues before Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation came out. No, people were doing it in other skills and in other areas. And we, as Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation, is trying as much as possible, as I said earlier, to promote and encourage. That's the only thing we think we can do best. So we're trying to use the media, we're trying to use the schools, we're trying to use churches, we're trying to use our community dance club to promote and also to organize programs that will encourage fathers. For instance, this year, June, we gave out about 500 Father's Day cards out of the funds of Ghana Fatherhood Initiative Foundation. We give out 500 Father's Day cards. And you know what? The result was marvelous because we didn't know that people would call our office to request for the cards. People were not given Father's Day cards as expected to fathers, and Father's Day gift to fathers as expected. But we did that, and the result was very, very great. And next year, we're trying to come out with Father's Awards Day, which is going to be launched as part of the International Men's Day program. So we're going to launch our Father's Awards Day on the 19th November. We're also going to launch our website, which is good for people to visit the website, www.ghanafatherhoodinitiative.org, to know what we're doing. Most of the things that we have on the website were things that we resources and information that we gathered to put on. And if we start doing our own things as expected, we will have a lot on the website.
That's great. That's www.ghanafatherhoodinitiative.org. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And do you have any events planned for the 19th, for this year, for International Men's Day?
For the International Men's Day, yes. We have on the 19th November, which is the International Men's Day, we're joining the whole world in celebrating men and recognizing men and appreciating men. As part of this program, we celebrated both programs with the Universal Children's Day. And on this day, we're giving out books we selected about 12 schools to give out books to them. And then this school children will be singing. Some of them will be reciting poems on men, fathers, and children. And we've also invited our ministry, some of the ministry, about three of them. We've invited the Minister of Youth and Sports because we knew that men, if men can play soccer to bring the light, to bring the name of Ghana into the world map, then we think the men can also play a role to promote fatherhood in Ghana for us to be known and be heard on the world map. And as part of this too, we've also invited the social welfare to join us in celebrating this program. We've also invited the Minister of Women and Children to also join us in celebrating this program, International Men's Day and Universal Children's Day. And then we've also invited churches to join us, and we've also asked, as part of encouragement, to ask other men's clubs, especially we have them in churches, that's the men clubs in the churches. We've also sold this ideas to them to celebrate men on the 19th November or on the following Sunday.
Oh, Samuel, I wish I could be there. It sounds like it's going to be fantastic. We're speaking with Samuel Tacky. Samuel, I think we're just about out of time, so could I thank you very much for coming on the program, and I wish you all the best in your work in Ghana and also on International Men's Day. And, yes, keep up that fabulous work in Africa.
We thank you very much, too, for giving us this opportunity in making our voice heard as part of this International Men's Day program, which is part of our annual program, and we're going to celebrate it. And it's our hope that next year, International Men's Day is going to be declared.
Yes.
Declared in Ghana.
Well, hopefully we'll get to talk to you again then. So, Samuel Tacky, once again, thank you for coming on the program.
You're welcome. Thank you too. Okay.
Goodbye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.
they grow so fast. You have to cherish every moment.
Please, Daddy.
You have a right to be involved in the life of your child.
What do you care? It's not like you were ever there anyway.
Dads in Distress meet in your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dads in Distress, 1300 853 437 or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
Welcome back to Dads on the Air, and we'll be crossing shortly across to the USA for some more interviews. But just the moment, I think Ian's got another story for us.
Yes, an article in the Telegraph last Friday, Sex Court to Ease Pain. Angela Camper has written, a special court to deal with sex assault cases will be created to ease the trauma that victims face when they go through the legal system. The plan being considered by the state government also aims to encourage more victims to come forward. It comes almost 3 years since the start of an award-winning Daily Telegraph campaign demanding justice for victims of sexual assault. What we here at Dads on the Air also, I mean, we have absolutely no problem with there being a special court to deal with sex assault cases. Although it does seem that this particular court will be specifically aimed at men as perpetrators and women as victims, which is a model that we think has been thrashed. And of course, the 1 in 3 website that does have the actual statistics on this particular subject does show that men are just as likely to be victims of assault, not sexual assault. Sexual assault is a very specific type of assault, and it does tend to be male on female. There are very few cases of sexual assault where females assault males, and if it does happen, most males are encouraged to feel flattered rather than victimized in this situation. So it is a bit of a one-sided situation, and it's difficult to imagine how this can really be anything other than just a means of vilifying men. But anyway, I believe we have our next guest on the line, so Bill, what's happening?
Okay, we'll be speaking in a moment with John D. Evans in Illinois in the USA. John is the USA Regional Coordinator for International Men's Day in the area of Illinois. John, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
This is great to speak to you. John, it's very interesting to speak to a poet. Among your skills, you're an educator, humanitarian, folklorist, author, poet. And I think you've got a literary work, Diary of a Renaissance Man, as was the Children's Choice in 2008 award. So, look, I'm just wondering, what, with that sort of background, what brought you into working with International Men's Day?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak with you and your audience. In June of this year, Diane Sears, the IMD coordinator for the United States, invited me to serve as the IMD regional coordinator for the state of Illinois. So I humbly accepted, and I have been busy promoting the objectives of and the movement that is International Men's Day ever since.
Look, that's great. We're actually going to be speaking to Diane in 2 weeks' time, and she's going to be giving us a wrap-up of how it all, how International Men's Day has panned out in the States. So we're looking forward to talking to her. And what about in your area? What's the history of International Men's Day?
Okay, well, I started with the invitation and accepted, and then very, very soon thereafter, in the summer of this year, I incorporated IMD Illinois because I wanted to have the solid structure in place so that I could, you know, raise funds and do the actual activities and events on the level, the high level, highest level possible, because I have such a strong belief in the potential, and in the potential of International Men's Day. So, under IMD Illinois Inc., we have sponsored a statewide writing competition, and we're proud to celebrate Frank C. Clock of Naperville, Illinois, who won our IMD Illinois Tepsi Inc. Francis E. W. Harper Prize for short story. So we'll be celebrating him on International Men's Day at Rick's Munchies We're going to have a free an afternoon of celebrating our positive models throughout the state of Illinois at that time, and we're certainly honoring Frank C. Clark at that time.
Yes, now you
personally, I'm sorry.
No, so go on.
I've reached out to over 200 city and village administrators with a request for them to issue proclamations designating Friday, November 19th as International Men's Day in their cities and villages throughout the state of Illinois. And I'm pleased to announce that in the city of Bolingbrook, Illinois, Mayor Roger C. Clare has issued an official proclamation. This is real important because it makes the statement that this is a vital and necessary observance.
Yes, I've got the proclamation in front of me, and it's certainly very positive. It's a number of whereases. It's in the nice legal language, and it refers to promoting positive male role models, celebrating men's positive contributions to society. There's the focus on men's health, which we're certainly focusing on in Australia in the area of prostate cancer and depression. And a very important one here is it highlights the discrimination against men in areas of social services, social attitudes and expectations and law. That seems to be a worldwide problem. Are you encountering those problems in the States?
Well, a lot of the discrimination against men in the areas of social services, I would like to look at the inspiration factor and how a lot of men are suffering from depression. And one of the things that I love about International Men's Day is because it gives us this opportunity to look at it on a global scale, how men around the world are being uplifted and how positive models are before them. And as we deal with their positive models, we're looking at their positive outlooks and positive outcomes.
Yes, I wonder if you could just expand on that, on what you see as the importance of International Men's Day.
Okay. The opportunity in itself to promote positive models, I think, is of utmost importance. I'm honored, you know, to be a part of what I consider to be such a living organism because it is a growing entity. And the main issue that I see for men and boys in Illinois are those issues affecting men and boys around the globe. And that being that, you know, many are lacking enough inspiration in their lives to be really fulfilled. Many men and boys are suffering from depression, and I believe as we promote positive models for men and boys, we uplift them.
Yes.
We provide positive outlets and outlooks for them as we promote.
Yes, and
observance.
And I think people need to recognise that doesn't mean putting the other side of the equation, the women, down. It's we just want to promote men's interests at the same time.
Right.
So
exactly.
And how do you involve your as you mentioned about that prize, I think, but does the poetry, your poetry background help in doing this work?
Well, actually, honestly, I've taken myself out of the equation as much as possible with this entire process.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not yet incorporated my poetry yet, but I am looking forward to the poetry competition being a larger one next year, because this year we only have a winner for short story. I'm looking for more poetry to come in, and I do look forward to being, you know, an active part in the judging process. So for my poetry, my passion for poetry can certainly come into play at that time. And I'm a creative person, so I'll always be looking at ways in which I can kind of incorporate poetry in the future, you know, for future programs and events.
Yes, well, it seems that would be very valuable, and just to coming up with some thoughts for people as they come into International Men's Day and to express it in that way. It just makes it stick in the mind, I'm sure, if you can put it in one of your poems. We're speaking with John D. Evans from Illinois. He's the regional coordinator of IMD in the, I guess it's all of Illinois, is it, that you're the region coordinator of?
Yes.
And so, John, what other events do you have planned for this year?
Okay, well, we're looking forward to Rick's Munchies. This is an evening, this is an afternoon event where we're looking forward to honoring Frank C. Clark, and we're going to be announcing the proclamation. And after that, I certainly look forward to, as a goal after International Men's Day, of maybe having a scholarship fund for, you know, an Illinois resident, an Illinois student. I look forward to that being another activity that we can do in the interim between this International Men's Day and next year's. So right now, the sky is really the limit. I'm looking forward to getting more proclamation in from various cities. I ultimately would like the governor, Pat Quinn, to issue an official proclamation for the state.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm just all excited about what's coming up on November 19th.
That's great. Look, there's so much there's so much work to do in all these different areas. Do you have any particular focus on the African-American males in your society?
Do I have any...
Any particular focus on African-Americans, or is it you're just working with everybody?
Oh, yes, definitely working with everyone. As you can see from our webpage at internationalmensday.com/Illinois, we do have African-Americans in our leadership, but at the same time, we also have Dr. Bruce Guernsey as the poetry final judge, who is the distinguished professor emeritus at Eastern Illinois University. I basically reach out to all people, you know.
Yeah.
There is no, there is no small circles here.
No, okay. There's just so much work to do. It must seem overwhelming at times, though, does it?
Well, it's a fun. I'm enjoying every bit of it. It's something that comes naturally to me. It's a passion for me to, you know, get the word about something that is positive, and just to, be an advocate for something that is as positive as this is. I mean, it's an honor and a joy. So, I love to let my creativity just run wild and free, and I enjoy leadership. I enjoy, cooperative leadership. I enjoy working with others. So this is all fun to me. It's something that comes naturally.
Well, that's great. I mean, you're coordinating individuals, organizations, institutions, communities. You're really covering the field. And look, I'd love to put you on the spot and ask you to read some of your poetry, but I don't suppose you've got any to hand, have you?
Oh, I would be happy to. With veins that run deep in my soul, vessels more precious than pure gold, a being so uniquely defined, beauty that cannot be denied, full of life, hope, history, of goodness, grace, destiny, from a perfect model molded by mighty, masterful hands, an awesome creature. No small wonder I am a man. Portrait of a man.
That is beautiful. And looks so beautifully read, John. I really appreciate you doing that. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We're going to be speaking to Kathleen Williams in a minute in New York. So could I thank you very much for coming on the program. I wish you all the very best for the 19th and for the rest of the year. And hopefully we'll get to talk again sometime and explore some other avenues.
Thank you so much. I would look forward to speaking with you again after the event.
Thanks, John. Thanks again once for coming again for coming on the program.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care.
Meeting your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dads in Distress, 1300 853 437, or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
Welcome back to Dads on the Air this 16th day of November 2010. And we're now crossing to the USA, and we're speaking with Kathleen Williams, who is the regional coordinator of International Men's Day in the New York region. Kathleen, are you there?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Very well. It's great to speak to you. Kathleen, I was watching your show last night. Your program is called I Must Say. Is it?
I'm Just Saying.
I'm Just Saying. Sorry, I can't read my own writing. I'm Just Saying. And in that program, you were talking about the Schott Foundation, and there was a, you mentioned your own experience with your son and the problems he's had at, in, well, not so much him, he's one of five of lucky ones getting that higher education, but it is a problem in New York, isn't it?
It's a huge problem in New York, huge. We have over 50%, almost 70%. Let's put it this way. 28% of the African-American boys in New York City, graduate from high school. 28%. Mm. And statewide, the numbers are in the 40s, 40 percentile of the black boys in the state of New York graduate from high school. And around the United States, the numbers are equally as dismal. It's terrible.
Yes, I think the from your son's school, was it there were five African Americans out of a class of 500 or something in that order?
About 600
mm-hmm.
students, right.
Now,
the boys... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to say, it seems to be, going from your program, it's a structural problem because of the curriculum taught at schools before they get into high school. Is that correct?
I would say that it has a lot to do with that, yes. But it also has a lot to do with the school that my son went to. If you recall from the interview and so forth, Stuyvesant High School is one of the premier high schools in the city of New York. Probably in the state of New York, it's probably in the top 10, if not the top 5. It's also considered one of the best public high schools in the country, the United States, period. So when you look at schools like that, of that caliber, you're going to see the numbers drop significantly when you start looking at African-Americans and Latinos. When we look at the numbers at the other high schools around the state and around the country, you may see a population of black boys there, but they're not graduating. That's really the problem. So, yes, the curriculum in the middle schools, and particularly when we go back as far as fifth grade, because it was Sean's fifth grade math test scores that positioned him for a program that prepared him for Stuyvesant. So you're absolutely right to go looking all the way back to see, well, what's going on in the earlier years. And what we find out now, when I start looking at the educational system now in public school, we see that in the early years, these young men are slated and targeted into what we call special education programs. So that's for the slow kids, if you will. So when they're there, they're really not getting the same information. They're not getting the same lessons. They're not getting the same attention that other students are getting. They're being targeted for slow, so they're slow from the fifth grade all the way up. And those fifth grade math scores is what makes a difference.
Now, in particular, algebra is not being taught in the middle schools. Is that something that can be sort of readily addressed and get to the principals or whoever sets the syllabus and say, look, you know, the algebra should be taught if the kids are going on to the next level?
Well, I didn't know that algebra wasn't being taught in middle schools. That's not the information that I necessarily had, but I certainly will look at that because one of the gentlemen, as you probably saw, who is a regular on my program, is a middle school principal. And he and I talk relentlessly, religiously about the condition of education, both not only at his school, but in New York. But we are looking at curriculums in New York City and around the country. I know they're looking at that. And there's also a movement now to start a lot of programs. And as you know, the movie that just came out called Waiting for Superman is about one of the charter schools in Harlem that has had a tremendous success rate across the board with African Americans, Latinos, boys, and girls. They're doing extremely well, and he makes a commitment to the parents and the students that go to that school that he will make sure. He's committing that everyone that attends his school will go to college. And so far, they're doing a great job. So we know it can be done if the commitment is there, and that's really what we have to look at now. What's going on from the early years with the schools? What's going on even in the families? You know, what's going on with the children so that we can make a difference? Because to have these numbers so low for graduating African-American boys in particular is just, it's unnecessary, and the numbers are just staggering. And my son, thank God, my son did tremendously well. He graduated from a fabulous college, and you know the numbers, of course, if the numbers are so low for high school, they're even lower for college.
I'm sure.
So the it's terrible. So we're looking to make sure that this is a difference. And International Men's Day is one of the ways that we can really begin to make an impact.
Yes. Now, do you see an importance or see the importance of having a mentor for these young black children?
Absolutely. And any child, because the numbers for single parent households that are headed by women, as you probably saw in my book, are also staggering numbers. So a lot of these children, both black, white, Latino, all across the board, are being raised by single mothers. So if men are not present in the household, there's a different dynamic that takes place. In addition to the fact that the majority of single-parent households are slated, so, you know, according to the statistics, many of those families are living in poverty or in conditions that are less than equivalent to those with two-parent families. Everything is that much more difficult for a one-parent family. Mm-hmm. So when we look at that, we can see, even if it's a one-parent family, that a dad is at the head of it, it's going to be more difficult for you to be everywhere, do everything, and be everybody that you need to be for your children. So what we're looking at is particularly the single-parent households headed by women that are raising young men. How can we help them to be more effective in their relationships, more supportive for the children, and more support, have more support for themselves as well, so that they can be as much as they can be for their kids?
Yes, look,
yes, mentors are significant.
I hope to be speaking to Billy Mitchell at the Apollo Theatre, who was speaking about mentoring programs and for kids in the Harlem area, which I think he seems to have, he's put a very high value on the mentoring program that he took advantage of, and I know he's now passing on to the next generation, which is great to hear. Because just coming to your what you were speaking about a minute ago about these single parent families, it's I've got a figure here that 72% of African American children are born out of wedlock, which is extraordinarily high, isn't it?
Extremely high.
And it even seems to be encouraged by some people rather than discouraged.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
It even seems to be encouraged by some groups that perhaps you don't need a father in the family, rather than, if you look at all the harm that comes to children without the fathers in the family that you were talking about a few minutes ago, you'd think that everyone would be working towards keeping those families intact and having a father around.
Having a father around is critically important, I think. I grew up with my father in my household, and the relationship that I had with my dad was a very strong one. It was a great one. And so I know the importance of having a father. I don't know what life really would have been like for me without my dad. As a youngster and as an adult, as a young woman, even when I got married, my father was right there for me to talk to and learn from. So it's critically important in so many ways, but we're seeing so many children grow up without fathers. And what we're also seeing right now is we're seeing children grow up without fathers, and their single moms were children that grew up without fathers. So we're having double generations now, if you will, back-to-back generations of people that are raising young men, and no one really had a great example of a father. So it really becomes a dilemma when we are saying to a mom who didn't have a father in her life the significance and the importance of a father, as she raises her child. So it's really something to target and talk about. And then in this conversation, in my book, I talk a lot about it. I talk about the fact that the example my father gave me is what I use to help raise my son. And in doing that, I am explaining to a lot of single moms and single dads the significance of the dad in the family, and how to be that if you can, and make sure that you bring in the mentors to your children so that they always have an example of manhood. And so as a woman, you can begin to understand men yourself. Because if you've never been around men, how do you understand men?
We're speaking with Kathleen Williams in New York. And Kathleen, you've mentioned your book a few times. I wonder if you could give us the title and how people can follow up on that book.
Oh, sure. Thank you for asking. The name of the book, the title of the book is Single Mother, The New Father. Single Mother, The New Father. And this volume that came out is a series of books, and there will be 15 that will come out. And this is the first volume that's available now. It's called Sports, The Mother's Playing Field, Secrets for Navigating the Man's World of Amateur Sports. And it is my story raising my son as a tennis player, an amateur tennis player, and all that I had to do to navigate through all the men that rule the sports environment, and how important it was for me as a woman to be out there with my son, even though I was the only woman who was regularly present at all the practices, all the training sessions, all the games. So I really talked to moms about that, how to look for scholarships, how to make sure they're not manipulated by the environment or the men that happen to be out there or overlooked by them, how to make sure that sports help support academics, and how important the school environment is, and your kids knowing that they can't play sports if they don't do well in school, you know, you can use that leverage. And it also helps to build a phenomenal relationship between mother and child. It's really awesome what I learned going through it. I also talk about not dating the coach, because a lot of moms get...
I didn't realize that was a problem, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge problem, because if you date the coach, you can indulge me for a moment. If you date the coach and the relationship doesn't work,
yes,
what happens to the child?
The kid gets dropped from the team, I'm sure.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And it happened to me, and it's in the book.
Okay. So your book, Single Mother, The New Father, is that, they can get that, people can get that from Amazon, I take it, can they?
Yes, yes, absolutely. They can buy it from Amazon.com. I don't know if you have Barnes & Noble out there in Sydney or in Australia, but Amazon is definitely Barnes & Noble. And also on my website, which is KathleenWilliams.com, it's available there as well.
And just so people know, that spelling is C-A-T-H-L-E-E-N. Williams is the standard way, but if you Google Kathleen Williams, I'm sure it'll come up. And I guess that also provides access to your TV show, I'm Just Saying. Or is there a separate website for that?
Yes.
Is there a separate website?
I'm Just Saying TV.
Yep. .com. So that's nothing. Now, we've got a little bit of time left. I wonder if you could tell us something about the International Men's Day in New York.
Oh, my gosh. It is so exciting. We've gotten a proclamation from the mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, and also several of our city council people and other legislators in the state of New York have given us proclamations for International Men's Day, and we've planned a supreme gala. It's so exciting. An award ceremony for great men of excellence in the state of New York. And we'll be honoring over 50 men that evening. Some of them are in politics, some of them are in health and wellness, some of them are in business. We've even got a young man, a 25-year-old young man. His name is Dominic Dean, and he gave, when he was 23 years old, he donated a kidney to his mother, who was in dire straits of having a kidney transplant, and he stepped right out and gave his mom a kidney. So it'll be such a wonderful evening, and we have a song dedicated. We have a new theme song called To Be a Man, and that will be featured that night. And that song is available, actually. We're sending it to the International Men's Day website, so you'll be able to hear it there, and you can purchase it on iTunes. It's fabulous, To Be a Man. But,
And so the title is To Be a Man, is it?
To Be a Man. It was written by the publisher of my book, actually, Beverly Brichette, and produced by Magic Reed, and featuring the sensational vocals of Mitch Matlock. So it's a great song. It's a wonderful feel-good song, and she will be there singing it at the International Men's Day Gala that we're having on Friday evening.
Look, once again, I'd love to be there in downtown New York hearing that.
Oh, come on in. We'd love to.
I will. I'll jump on the next plane. I'd love to be there. And how long have you been involved in International Men's Day, Kathleen?
This is actually my first year. I got a fabulous contact from Diane Sears, our United States coordinator, asking myself and Reverend Craig of the Greater Allen AME Cathedral. We are the regional co-coordinators for the state of New York. So she asked us around the time that we did a fatherhood conference from our father's support ministry at my church, which is Greater Allen AME Cathedral, and we jumped at the opportunity to be the regional coordinator. So this is our first time, and the first time it's officially being celebrated with an event like this in the state of New York. So we are really excited.
Sounds great. And the 50 great men that you've mentioned, some of them will have high profiles and some will not have high profiles, I guess, will they?
That's correct.
So any that we might know in Australia?
I'm sorry?
Any that we might know in Australia of the 50 great men?
Well, let's see. We're still waiting to hear from the Reverend Al Sharpton. You likely you know him. And Senator Chuck Schumer was amongst those that we wanted to honor. So those might be some of the ones that you would know. Our Congressman Gregory Meeks is on the list also. So he's a member of Congress right now. And the Deputy Majority Leader of the City Council for the State of New York, Leroy Comrie, City of New York, Leroy Comrie, and our pro temp senator for New York is Senator Malcolm Smith. He is also on the list of honorees, and amongst many, many others, Troy Bowers of the New York Knicks. He's not one of the players. He is the marketing specialist and community relations person for the New York Knicks. Chris Broussard, who is a writer for ESPN Sports and also a commentator. If you watch American basketball, you'll always see Chris Broussard on ESPN. He's not only an honoree, he is our keynote speaker for the event that evening. And Kenneth Braswell is the director of the Fatherhood Initiative here in the state of New York. And Alan Houston, a former New York Knickerbocker, New York Knicks. I'm dating myself. They're the New York Knicks now. Alan Houston and Tabini Boone, who is President Obama's pick to lead the Fathering and Mentoring Initiative in the country.
Well, Kathleen, look, it's great that you're getting that level of support. And, look, unfortunately, we're running out of time. So all I can do is wish you all the very best for next Friday. I wish you all the very best in your television show, I'm Just Saying, which is available to people if they go to the imjustsayingtv.com website. And all the best with your son and your future career in all your very many areas of being all your activities. So
thank you so much. We're excited. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the air in Sydney. God bless you, and all the best to you all, too, on International Men's Day.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Kathleen Williams from New York. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, that seems to be the program for another week.
We can almost hear the music starting in the background. I think there it is. There's the music.
Yep, we've got to get out of the chairs. Bob Brown's chasing at the bit to get into the studio for Country On. You can download this program from our website, dadsontheair.net. That should be up sometime this afternoon. And we'll be back next week with another program.
We're dads on the air.